Shoo. What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of The Salty Show. I'm your co-host, Timmy Two-Time in the house. What's up, everybody?
Hey, everybody. This is Jeremy, and welcome to our world.
Aw, shoot, Salty Saul. What's cracking over there in Pittsburgh, PA, man? How you living? You living good? Living large?
Amazing. It's fall. The colors are beautiful. Right now, up here in the Northeast, it is gorgeous. The weather's nice, and I love it, man. It's only 2 weeks, though. And then the rain and then the snow comes. All right, ladies and gentlemen, on this episode of The Salty Show, there was a ton of debates. There were gubernatorial debates. There were senatorial debates in New York City, Pennsylvania, Michigan, Florida. A lot of debates. And I think one thing is clear after watching some of these. There's a red wave coming, guys. I don't see how people watch these debates and are going to side with the Democrats. And we're going to cover some of these. Also, the New York Supreme Court ruled on COVID cases for previous employees had resisted the vaccine and are now going to be reinstated and back paid. But the state is challenging it.
Yes.
And also, Musk is officially in Twitter headquarters. Did you see that tweet today? It was beautiful.
Oh, with the kitchen sink.
No. He walked in with the kitchen sink to Twitter's headquarters,
walked
bro.
Walked in with hilarious. The kitchen sink. We're going to talk about all that and more on this episode of The Salty Show. Yeah, buddy. Jeremy, do you have any
Before we get started.
Oh yeah, there you go.
I just want to give a
go ahead.
You know, quick condolences to our loyal listener, Ken. You know, he was a loyal listener. He passed away a couple weeks ago. His funeral was yesterday. RIP Ken, you know. Cancer's a bitch, man. He fought hard.
RIP. Yeah, Ken. And RIP, and thank you for listening during all those times. I think, you know, he was one of the guys who would hit us up and be like, you know, he was listening to the show. So you will be missed, man. You will be missed. All right. Jeremy, do you have anything for us on?
I have a quick story. And the only reason why I really bring it up is because it's basically based out of Pennsylvania. So I don't know what you guys are doing up there. So apparently someone is going around the Pennsylvania state parks and putting up signs warning that Bigfoot's in the area.
That's Fetterman.
That's got to be Fetterman with his big old hunchback, whatever.
The cyborg.
Jesus.
Yeah. So apparently they're putting up signs. They don't know who's doing it, right? Just someone's going around up these signs.
Posobiec. You know, Posobiec's going around PA.
It sounds like Posobiec to me. That is funny.
But the Conservation and Naturalist Resource Department said officially Bigfoot is not real. But apparently they're putting up signs saying that they're been encountering these signs, basically saying telling the visitors, please observe elevated park. Hold on, this stupid thing just switched up. So basically they're going on record as saying basically please elevate your park etiquette, be cautious of your surroundings, and keep the location of any small children and pets within a tighter scope of awareness. So that's what the sign says, and then the state park people are coming in going, what the hell? It's not real. So they're taking down the signs it's whenever they find them. So I just thought that was kind of funny that you know, we talk every once in a while, we'll bring up Bigfoot, and I figure since you guys in PA are a little out of control, we
I guess.
I'm telling you, it's Posobiec and Mastriano going around fucking Pennsylvania, trolling everybody about Fetterman. I'm telling you.
Well, you're going to see him, dude. I don't know what's growing on the back of his head, man. I think he's got this guy looks weird, man.
Didn't he have a stroke?
He did back in May.
I mean,
May.
Isn't that like official?
Yeah. Yeah, I think they try to not necessarily hide it, but they weren't talking about it initially when he went a little bit MIA, and then eventually they came out and said that he, he had a stroke, but everything's all right and everything's cool, and he's fit to serve, because his doctor told him so. Meanwhile, if you would have watched this debate, and we're gonna get right into it. people would watch this debate, Jeremy. I mean, I watched the whole thing, and then honestly, it was cringe. It was hard to watch.
Uncomfortable.
Uncomfortable because how do you root against the guy who clearly has he's got mental damage. He wasn't processing information correctly. It just seemed like I said, it's sad. It's sad that that they would put him. And I say they, you know, because I have a theory here. And before I show you any of this, I have a theory as to why he's still in this race. Why the Democrats haven't pulled him? Because, you know, there's a lot of speculations like you could have selected so many other, people who Democrats who are out there, and yet you chose this guy. And I was like, why would they go with this guy? And I think it is because, you know, having read Klaus Schwab and the Great Reset and just how the central planners think. And now I'm reading Friedrich Hayek's book, where he talks about there are people who are just, to you, the conversation we were having earlier, Tim, there are people who are just follow orders type of people. There are people who aren't thinking for, you know, for themselves. They just follow orders. This is how a lot of dictatorships, a lot of dictators get into power, because people don't want to spend the time to research the issue, find out the solution. They just want an answer. And so here's a guy who he doesn't necessarily need to know what he's doing. All he has to do is just implement the orders that he's given. And so if you look at it in that context,
it might actually be even easier for them to control
exactly
him, because he doesn't have the ability to think about what he's doing and go, well, wait a minute, that's not a good idea. Why would I do? That's a bad idea. Why would I do? You know, he doesn't, if he is in fact in that state and he can't cognitively function, it's even better to have him in there, because then you're just, you know, he's a marionette. You're just pulling the strings and exactly. He's not questioning anything.
Which explains why it explains Biden, right? If this is, you know, because I've been saying this, and, you know, you can't say this, you know, a lot of these politicians who were debating couldn't say this, that the election was rigged, but, you know, clearly it was.
So one of the other theories behind Mr. Cyborg over there in Bigfoot is, you know, Posobiec brought up a good point, and he brought this up during the primaries when it came out, and he's like, he should bow out, but then it was becoming too late, and then he wins the primary, and then he's like, they still have time to say, all right, he's going to bow out, and then his wife would just step in. But that wouldn't have sit well with the PA voter, right?
No question.
But now,
and I know exactly what you're
because saying. You're allowed to. PA politics is shady, right? So then he was like, a couple of days ago, he was like, okay, so this is what they're going to do, right? This is why they're pushing Shapiro, is they need to get Fetterman over the line, right? And they need Shapiro to win, because if Shapiro wins, then Oz, as soon as he wins, he could say, you know what, health reasons, I need to bow out from the Senate. Shapiro gets to nominate at that point. The governor gets to nominate who the senator is, right? Because once you win and you step down, the governor, it's a nominated position.
That's another theory,
so they're saying his wife will get the nomination, because she's the one really running the whole campaign right now.
Fetterman's wife?
Apparently. Right. So, and she's a hardcore communist, right? So what's going to happen is, if Shapiro wins, is that
she'll get nominated. Who is Shapiro?
Josh Shapiro, the guy running for governor, the AG that's running for governor.
Okay. I'm sorry. You crossed races on me here. I was like, wait, what are we talking about?
Right. So,
it's funny you mentioned that, Tim, that, about her views. So when she was, this was about a year ago, I don't know if I told you guys, I was running another podcast for, a Brazilian girl. And she had on Gisele Fetterman on the show. And so, you know, as I'm watching this as they're, you know, and she's doing the interview live, and I'm listening to some of her responses, and I'm like, oh my God, she's like far out, like leftist, you know? Mm-hmm. And And then I, you know, when he announced he's going to run, and, you know, I'm like, well, who's Fetterman? And that's when I was realizing, and I was like, oh, this is crazy. And one of the things that a lot of people, because Fetterman, he had come out and said that he helped the town of Braddock out here in Pennsylvania.
He was the mayor.
Yeah, exactly. And that's where he had that whole issue about him freaking pointing a gun at this guy. And there was a little documentary that I forget who did this little basically news piece on him, and where they went to the actual town of Braddock, and they were asking the residents there, hey, you know, he's claiming that he created all these jobs when he was out here. And they're like, I've never seen the guy. Like, he hung out in that area over there. He never created any job. And these are people who, you know, again, are living there. It's a small town, but, you know, he's claiming that. What they did say was, well, we saw his wife here a lot. She was, you know, supporting a lot of this. She was doing all this and all that. To your point, Tim, that's why I was bringing it up. To your point, she may be running a lot of this stuff. And I think, to your point, that that's the ultimate goal. She wouldn't win here, you know, again, just because of those beliefs that she had. And people just got to do a quick search. Again, she was on an interview with the previous podcast that I was producing. And when I'm hearing, listening to her answers, I'm like, oh, she's again a far lefty, saying all the words. I even had a conversation with the host at that time, the girl who was doing the, you know, and I'm like, she's like, what do you think about it? And I'm like, she seems like a nice person, but her politics completely. I disagree with everything that she said. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I'm remaining polite, and I'm producing a podcast. I'm not supposed to.
Oh, yeah, you can't. I mean, you're there to do a job. Not
exactly. And but I was like, wow, this is crazy. And here we are a year later, I'm a little bit over a year later. And this guy's running. And so, to your point, I think you might be right there, that's the ultimate goal, is to have put her in there. Because she wouldn't have, she can't win just by running on her policies or the things that she's done. Mm-mm. Not especially,
look,
again,
who's
she's
running
done
the
many
White
interviews. House. Yeah, exactly.
Look who's running the White House. The guy's not in charge. His wife runs things. All his people around him. He's a name. Fetterman's a name. But the people behind him are calling the shots. And this is like this is their new way of politics. Is that they have like a whole think tank running the show behind them, and they just go, okay. You know what I mean?
Well, I think the Fetterman choice by Democrats is they were counting on him winning, you know, Western Pennsylvania, right? Because Western Pennsylvania, and I've been out here for, you know, 3 years now, it's red country out here. It's God's country out here. I'm telling you, like, everywhere I look, every, you know, person that I meet, everybody, you know, again, this is, and so that might, they were counting on, oh, well, he's definitely got, as long as he has the D in front of his name, he's got, you know, Philadelphia, that's it. And so I think they were kind of, you know, maybe trying to win the Western part of the state where all that stuff is happening. And we're going to talk about the fracking and all that shit that he answers that he gave. Again, guys, Fetterman had a stroke back in May. During the debate, he had two monitors, you know, that were basically providing him with the closed captioning of what the questions said and were being asked. And so I'm just going to go through. I have a few clips here, and I'm going to show you the first one here. This is the first sentence when he introduces himself.
Oh, boy.
Jeremy, watch this. This is
I want to hear this, so let's bring it.
Yeah. So you tell me if you notice anything. Oh, shit. Hold on. All right, so let me bring this over here. I was supposed to be sharing my screen, and I'm not sharing anywhere. Let me share that.
With that, let's get started. Mr. Fetterman, we're going to begin with you. Your political experience includes serving as the mayor of Braddock, a small borough near Pittsburgh, and one term as lieutenant governor. You're running for a seat that could decide the balance of power in Washington. What qualifies you to be a U.S. senator? You have 60 seconds.
Hi, good night, everybody.
Good night.
He's good night, got everybody. A stutter like
that's
Biden.
It. That's all I had. Let me replay that again.
You rattled off my credentials. I'm out. Good night.
All right, that's me, everybody.
Help us has left the building.
Rewind.
I got to play this for you guys because, I mean.
Hi, good night, everybody. I'm running to serve Pennsylvania. He's running.
Okay.
Good night, everybody.
All right. Quick. Good night. So here's the thing, right?
Do you
start off a sentence by saying good night, everybody, or is that the way you end a sentence?
I'm willing to bet, devil's advocate here, I'm willing to bet he meant to say good evening.
Yes.
And he was nervous.
100%. But again, it's a Biden blunder. They say he's got a stutter. No, you have brain damage and you need to rest and get healthy.
Jeremy, to your point, can we make any excuses for this guy? Sure, we can. But should we, again, the left will not hold back. You remember when George Bush would stutter and they would like nonstop Saturday Night Live, with George Bush, the way he talked. They're not doing this with this guy. And this guy has, I can go on and on all of tonight. Just the cringe. I was texting Tim and I'm like, bro, like this is bad. Like this is embarrassing. This is like, it's borderline sad, man, that this guy is out there. But I get what you're saying, Jeremy. He might be, but that shows that he's not fit, in my opinion. And this is just the first one.
Yeah.
All right. So
yeah.
Let me play the next one because again, there's more. So this was towards the end, I think, or maybe the middle. They asked him on the issue of fracking. And now both, to be fair, both Oz, Dr. Oz, and him have switched, right? Or they've said contradictory statements on the issue of fracking. At one point, Dr. Oz said he was against it, and then now he's for it. And Fetterman, the same thing. He said he was for it, and then he was against it. Now he's for it. And so they're both challenged on this question. And here is Fetterman's response on the contradictory statements that he's made in the past.
I do want to clarify something. You're saying tonight that you support fracking, that you've always supported fracking, but there is that 2018 interview that you said, quote, I don't support fracking at all. So how do you square the two?
I do support fracking, and I don't.
And you don't?
I support fracking, and I stand, and I do support fracking.
Okay. What the fuck? Let me replay this again because first of all, take into account the 7 seconds of silence of just like oh, and then the whole I'm for fracking. I'm not. I wasn't. And then I am. Listen to this, guys. Now everybody came out defending him. Everybody was like, well, we can deduce what he meant. That's what they're all doing. Go read the New York Times, go read them all.
Well, yeah. Is that the characteristic you want from your leader? Is you have to figure out what they want and diagnose, or what was the word you used?
So listen to this.
Deduce. Yeah. Is that what you want from your senator? Something you have to deduce what they want from
decipher,
a leader? That,
like a fucking code?
That's terrible. That's a terrible idea.
So last night, Axios published an article right after the debate, Fetterman's painful debate. Okay, so this is the new talking point, okay? This is the new talking point, right? Yes, it was a painful debate, but now check this out. Multiple sources agree, wonder why he agreed when he clearly wasn't. He struggled at times in the moderator's questions, even with the assistance of closed captioning device, right? So Democrats are like, why the hell did he do this? Because they wanted to hide him in the basement like Biden.
Right.
But this is the most important piece of the article, right? Right here, it says, quote, another senior Democratic official in Pennsylvania told Axios, I wish Fetterman was in a better place to clap back. Overall, I argue it wasn't great for us, but still a draw. Remember, in these few weeks, in the next few weeks, the Oz campaign is spending tens of millions of dollars against a man with a medical condition. So now, the new talking point is Republicans need to show mercy. This guy had a stroke.
Yeah.
Because he failed. So now you're a bully.
Ableism.
You're a bully now.
Ableism. Yeah,
yeah.
I'm getting the same vibes, the same bullshit feedback from when they trotted Greta Thunberg out into the adult playground and said, oh my God, they're telling this girl They're so mean. They're being mean, and they're telling her she needs to go have fun with her kid, her friends, instead of. It's like, no, bitch, you rolled into the adult arena. Mm. You need to prepare for it. If this guy is not capable of doing that, he should not be the senator.
They should
right?
be thankful.
Am I wrong?
No, you're right. They should be thankful that Dr. Oz it took off his gloves and let him have it. Why would you treat a disabled person with baby gloves? You shouldn't. And so because you want to see how they perform. And based on just these two clips, this guy, but this is constant throughout the whole night. Even his responses, he was like, Tim kept on messaging me today, Junior, you know?
Wow.
And that's supposed to be private, but okay.
Oh, wow. Put his shit out on blast
Well, I mean,
they called him a retard.
But come on. What else?
No, hear you.
Come on. I mean, this is we have to be honest about what it is.
You got to call a spade because this is what happens. When you let people like this and you show sympathy, look, I have sympathy for the man. He's sick. He shouldn't be out there in the public forum like this. But if you're going to go out in the public forum, you don't get special treatment just because you had a heart attack. You're choosing to do this. So now you're being judged based on your performance. Not that I'm calling you a piece of shit. You know what I mean? I'm saying you're unfit because of look. And it just turns out that, you know, half these clips turn out to be memes and laughs because you're like, wow, it really is to me, it's more of a detriment to the Democratic Party. Yeah. It's evil. They're willing. This is what they're willing to put in front of you for power. Okay. They are willing to do whatever it takes. A man that is, and you see with Biden, they put these men that are frail, weak, sick out there because of a name that they can get votes so that they can just keep pushing their agenda because the people behind them are the ones in charge. This is disgusting. This is not politics. This is about power, control, and corruption because they are afraid. Because even right now, the polls are showing, I mean, again, it's real clear politics. They slid it over. Slid it over. Fucking the Democrats. I mean, the Republicans. They're poised to win 53-47. So they're down. They're up to win three more seats in the Senate. Okay, that's huge.
I think I
53-47. That's huge.
John Stossel. I've been watching him a lot. He's actually pretty cool. And he has a website where he basically consolidates all those foreign websites that bet on elections. Right. So he has he's kind of built a reporting system out of it. I forget what the website's called. Google it. John Stossel's, you know, and basically what what he does is, you know, he analyzes this information, right? And they were showing the while Fetterman or shortly after Fetterman and Oz debated, they were showing how everything drastically changed. Literally the graph showing the numbers going down for Fetterman and shooting up for Oz. And I think I was watching Tim Kess was also talking about this and he was saying, look, we rely on those more than we rely on polls because they're more consistent than the polls, right? Because people vote with their money, right? And what are you willing to lose to bet on something? And so when people bet, usually a great indicator of where, you know, it's the wisdom of the collective, right? Basically, people can predict where something is going to go based on the performance. And this guy, again, we just seen two little clips, but this was over and over that whole night. Any person from Pennsylvania who watched last night's debate Tuesday night debate with Fetterman and Oz, I don't know how you come out that and feeling confident about Fetterman. Right. He didn't. You can't. And so, but to my surprise, because I was watching it through one of the liberal YouTube outlets. And
I think everybody was. Yeah, I think I was the only one streaming it.
No, there were some conservatives streaming it. I think
I'm right. You're right.
Tim Kass had they were reacting to it as well. But
you're right. My bad. I'll shut up.
But so, you know, I was reading the comments, you know, that people are posting. I'm like, you know, and people still supporting him. Oh, he did a great job. And I'm like, What debate are you watching?
Yeah.
What debate are you watching?
Sad.
This is very
that's
bad.
Tribalism.
Yeah.
It's a cult.
Yeah.
Like I can come out and say, I'm I'm not a big Dr. Oz fan. I think if he wins, he's going to vote with Mitch McConnell every step of the way, send all billions of dollars to Ukraine, and nothing's going to get done. But we all look at it and go, well, he's the lesser of two evils, right?
You got to hope that, you know, to have control, right?
Because it stops a little bit of the pain, right? But it's not the right candidate. But you know what? I'd rather him than this crazy son of a bitch who's communist wife is, you know, wants to pack the courts and do all this crap, DC as a state, all that. I don't want that. So I got to choose, in my mind, I got to look at the lesser of two evils. But for them, they go, this guy did a good job. Whoa, wait a minute, time out. If I'm willing to critique the people that in my party, you got to be able to look and say, man, this guy is really shit. He's the shits, right? But they're in the same boat. They don't want Republicans to have control. They feel that, you know, if Republicans get in that, you know, they're going to pass a 15-day abortion thing, that even if they did, it wouldn't get signed. It would get vetoed. They don't have the power to overturn Biden.
That's what the Democrats are counting on, right? They're counting on that people still have the Roe v. Wade being overturned fresh in their minds. And every single one of those debates, in my opinion, gave way too much time to that topic, right?
This is exactly that.
They're obsessed with that. They're obsessed with killing babies. And you know, there's all these other issues that are happening. You think people have that on their forefront? I was looking at some, you know, polling that they did on questions that are important to people. That's like way at the bottom. But they want to hold this on the forefront. And to the point that Jeremy was making, you know, and the way that they're going to do that is you cannot criticize this person because he had a stroke. And in my opinion, I'm sorry, buddy, but we're just going to have to. You think other countries or even your opposing party that you're going to be sitting there debating, you know, in the Senate or the House floor, and you're going to be able to debate somebody, or is there going to be a news reporter from the New York Times or CNN interpreting what he meant for him? You see what I'm saying? Like, he's not fit. He's not fit to debate. He's not fit to have dialogue. Get the fuck out of here, man. Like, we're wasting our time.
It's an embarrassment.
It is.
It's an embarrassment to this country that this is the best we got, right? And people, and you know what? And I can even down to Georgia. I mean, the best we got down in Georgia is Herschel Walker. I mean, I think he's got some good points. But again, is that the best we got? Dr. Oz, Herschel Walker, Fetterman. Come on, guys. There's two of them are celebrities and one's a freaking cyborg, you know? Like, I don't know if that's the best we got. I mean, we'll have to wait and see, but come on. Like, you know, you kind of want, you know, if you're going to the world stage, you know, I can't have, you know, think about Fetterman. He goes to Ukraine. Russia, as soon as he's there, they'll launch the nukes.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Because he's like, yeah, nuke Russia right now. Okay. His dumbass will spill the beans.
Like, if we're supposed to send our best, right? That's how I see it, right? The people who represent us should be the best of us. I mean, at least the best of your side. And I'm just not seeing that, man. Not the way that this guy talks. And it's kind of like, and it's not necessarily, it's not just the way in which he delivers it. It is even the message that he's given. Again, they're all obsessed. He kept bringing it up, you know, the abortion issue. And you know, while crime is running rampant in their cities, and I'm talking about, you know, New York and
Philly
and all these, you know, freaking. Let me show you this video here because I think we're done with Fetterman. I think we've. Well, I mean, what can you say?
He had a Tourette's moment.
Yeah,
he even had a Tourette's moment.
That's when you sent me the text.
Oz is speaking, and he just blurts out. He's like, "You roll with Mastriano." Well, what does Mastriano have anything to do with this?
Who's because
he wants to show
King him to the January 6th,
right?
Bullshit.
But he just blurts it out, like kind of like what I do, like with my little Tourette's. You know what I'm saying? You know, but he really does have a condition. I'm just being a douche. You know what I'm saying? There's a difference, but it's just he just blurts shit out in the middle of this stuff. And I credit to Oz because Oz knows as a doctor, he's got compassion for the guy. And he's like, John, he's like, hold on. I didn't say this. Let me finish my point and then you can respond back. Like he was like even trying to coach him in a way, like showing compassion to him. It's not like he could have been a dick and be like, look, stroke victim, shut up. You know, he could have really buried him. You know what I mean? He could have said, look, guys, look, he's not fit.
I saw somebody who was it tweeting or I forgot some comment somebody made on a, one of their videos. And they said, this is literally a competition between a doctor and a patient. Because you're going to be like,
So I want to, before we get off of Fetterman, I want to ask a couple of questions about him. So obviously before the stroke, you said he had a stroke earlier this year?
May.
And that was before the primaries.
He hit it.
So he hit, okay. Is it getting worse? Is that why he's having problems with the debate, or was he just put in the basement and people voted for him anyways because of the name?
Pretty much.
I think he went
off the campaign trail for a while.
All right. So,
I believe the stroke got announced after they voted.
I don't remember.
Or after voting started, they announced the stroke happened.
Or maybe shortly before. Maybe it was shortly before, Tim. I think if I remember correctly.
It was right in that sweet spot where maybe mail-in ballots.
Too late. You know what I mean? Like, it's too late to get, you know. It was like everything had already
mail-in ballots went out already, and everybody was sending them back. And once the mail-in ballots go out, I mean, you can't, even if you withdraw, you're still on the ballot. They won't recall those ballots.
I think to Tim's point, the Democrats thought that they could get away with this and eventually remove him because they were like, well, you know what, his health issues, and let's just, the government was going to appoint somebody else. I think that was the goal.
So basically something happens, either Fetterman admits that he can't do it or steps down, and then the governor can just
appoint
anybody.
That's how Martha McSally got in.
Right.
Martha McSally wasn't elected. She was appointed by Doug Ducey after John McCain died. Right. She served out the term, and then she ran against the communist now, Mark Kelly, and that's why Kelly's in.
Right. You think that if that happens, if he does step down, they're going to appoint his wife?
No, absolutely. She's the perfect senator for them. She's radical. She wants the agenda, and they're catering to it. She checks a box. She's a woman, a person of color.
That's what a lot of what the political pundits out there are speculating, and it seems like they are. She might be getting groomed for it.
I'm assuming there would be somebody better in the state to represent it than. Because has she ever run for office before?
No.
Jeremy, again, the whole thing with the veteran.
Oz and Walker.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people. Blake Masters, he never ran for office.
Why don't we?
Trump never held office and he became president.
Well, I think to your point, Tim, that you were saying earlier it's so surprising how there's not a lot of people who get involved in this stuff, right? And I think you're learning it as you're moving up the whole chain, right? How quickly you're moving up. Imagine, I mean, eventually you're going to get into a position where, you know, they're going to put you at the limelight and you're going to be running for some, you know, congressional seat in Arizona.
Oof.
Watch out for that congressional seat. Don't move into that neighborhood. I'm just kidding.
Hey, guys, I'm running. Guess what? He got 1% of the vote. What? 1% of the people voted for that dumbass?
Okay. All right. So yeah, that
we'll have to take this podcast out and make scrub from the internet.
Well, I don't know that.
Well, let's move on to the other one. There was there was four that I followed this week, and I'm just going to show you this from Lee Zeldin debating Kathy Hochul out in New York, and he challenges her on the way that New York's been handling crime. You know, Tim sends this video. There's videos all the time, all over Twitter, all over social media, on what's happening out in New York. And what's happening out in New York is a rise in crime. Think about during Giuliani, the era of Giuliani. I think the crime is increasing to that level, dude. This is, people pushing people in front of trains. People, you know, running into stores, ransacking stores. This is fucking wild, bro. Like, and scary. And these are just the videos. And you know, New York about in 2020 passes, their whatever crime reform bill, where basically it's a catch and release program, right? Where, you know, somebody commits a crime, the speedy process, and they're back on the street. And in fact, I was reading that the year that this shit passed. They reported on a guy who got arrested three times. We might have reported on the show. He gets arrested three times in the same day and gets let out the same day. Right?
The same day, bro.
And so
that cashless bail shit.
Exactly. And so this is causing a rise in problems. Now, Lee Zeldin challenges Kathy Hochul, who is the governor who he's challenging. And it's like, okay, this is something that is happening under your watch. And listen to her response.
They're not being represented from this governor, who still, to this moment, we're halfway through the debate, she still hasn't talked about locking up anyone committing any crimes.
Okay.
Anyone who commits a crime under our laws, especially with the change we made to bail, has consequences. I don't know why that's so important to you. All I know is that we could do more.
Well, when I said we could do more, excuse me, I'm speaking. Sure, go ahead.
We could do so much more. If there was a nationwide ban, but certainly a state ban on teenagers being able to get guns, assault weapons. I mean, that's what happened.
They're not being represented.
Okay. So one of the responses.
She's the worst.
I don't know if I didn't hear it, but maybe I missed it. Did she say, I don't know why that's so important to you?
Yeah, yeah. She says it so abruptly.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, she's like, there's consequences. You know, right. She's like, oh, you know, there's consequences on the law. I don't know why that's important to you.
Right. Okay, so I think this is what a lot of people grabbed onto, and we need to highlight this, right? Because, you know, it's easy for somebody who has armed guards, who lives in a gated community, who most likely takes private jets and planes, to say something like this. They're so disconnected from the reality that other people are suffering that they're able to say, "Well, I don't understand why this is an issue for you." No, it maybe it's not an issue for him, but it's an issue for a lot of their constituents who they're trying to represent. And people are complaining about this. There's a rise in crime in New York City. And what is her response? Why do people care about this? Why should you care about this? Wow.
Well, and then she goes, oh, we got to take guns out of teenagers. Yeah. Hey, dumbass. 95% of the crimes I'm seeing online, they're not from guns.
Right.
It's knives. It's drug robbery, addicts
punching.
Yeah, it's robbery. It's drug addicts just literally putting a bag down, seeing a guy walking on the fucking subway platform, bum rushing him and launching him onto the tracks.
Right.
That literally happened this week.
You know what it is? And again, it is the way that they work. They need people in continual need for them because they're going to be the ones to solve these problems. But as soon as these problems are solved, there's no need for the Democrats. There really isn't, right? Because that's what they run on. Oh, there's going to be, we will fix it. We will fix it. It's this continual promise to fix. They don't do shit. And no, to them, the important stuff right now is abortion and climate change. Those are the big issues.
And gun control.
The Democratic Party is gun control, which doesn't solve the whole fucking the violence problem. Because to your point, this is robbery. These are, like drug use. This is violence. This is, you know, and it's barely used, with weapons. And so when she's talking about kids or young teenagers having owning guns, it's like, what the fuck are you talking about? That's already, illegal in that state, I believe. Right. Isn't it already illegal in you?
And a criminal. Here's the thing. You could pass the strictest gun laws like Britain, Australia, where guns are illegal everywhere. And you know who's still going to have a gun? A criminal. You know who's not going to have a gun? A law-abiding citizen that believes in the Second Amendment and all that stuff. Oh, you took my right away, made it illegal. No. Okay.
Hey, look, any resident of New York City today, this is a law that violates the Supreme Court, the Constitution of the United States. It is clear violation. And to me, this is something that you can challenge. And look, I think there needs to be people who stand up to this and do civil disobedience against these shit that they pass. And that way this shit goes to the courts. It needs to go. It needs to, and they need to come down on it. Look, I have hopes that they will. Go ahead, Tim. You were going to say.
Oh, no. Wait. So there's the one thing that the federal government can do under a Republican leadership. And this is what they should have did from when they had the majority, right? With Trump. You know what they should have said? One law. Constitutional carry is everywhere. That trumps all the state rights and everything. Put that in the court. Mm-hmm. Now try to fight your Second Amendment in the Supreme Court. You can't.
Well, I think
shall not be infringed. Plain and simple.
Yeah, I think that the Supreme Court did make a couple of rulings on the Second Amendment, and it definitely hit a lot of these cities.
But then they passed a new law.
Well, yeah. So what happens is they basically, I believe, I don't quote me on this, but basically the Supreme Court said, here's the deal, the right to. So what a lot of these, I keep bouncing all over the place, but basically I think what the deal is, a lot of these cities like New York say, well, you can have a gun, but you have to prove to us that you have a need to have it. And if you have it, you can only keep it in your house.
Nope.
Right. And then the basically there was a lawsuit. It went up to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court came back and said, no, there is no legal justification for a city or a state or a county or whatever to require you to justify why you need a gun. That is infringement. You can't do that.
Right.
And the whole, well, then you can only carry it in certain places, right? So they, and the Supreme Court agreed, I guess they agreed that basically there are certain areas where you can't carry a gun into, a school, a courthouse, right? Certain, there's certain areas that qualify as being exempt from being able to carry a gun into. So then the city's like, oh, well, we'll just dedicate, or we'll just
make it no gun.
Make everything that kind of a zone,
right?
Where you can't carry a gun into this zone, the city at all, because it's considered a gun-free zone, right?
But you know, like, how
you can't do that either.
But this is, again, instead of fixing the problem, we all know how to fix the problem. If everyone's allowed to own a gun, and they choose whether or not, like, you know, for 15 years, I chose not to own a gun. I still have no bullets for it, but I own a gun now. But
don't tell people that.
No, but think about it.
You have a ton of bullets.
If everybody has a gun, people are less inclined to sit there and try to rob you like that. You know, they'll pick on the elderly still and everything, but now a good Samaritan will be like, hey, wait a minute, put that shit down. You know, and especially in places like New York, people see that and they'll protect the elderly. Right now, it's not an even playing field, but I guarantee you want to see crime go down. Constitutional, you know, or if they don't want to pass the constitutional carry because of whatever, which is, again, is unconstitutional to begin with, and you shouldn't even need a constitutional carry law to fucking tell you, you know what I'm saying? But if you made just getting a gun easier, less of this shit.
I don't understand how the Constitution can't be any more clear that you cannot infringe.
Yeah.
On the right to bear arms.
There's no exceptions for mental illness or anything. Shall not be infringed.
Right. I don't understand how the Supreme Court hasn't come out previously and just said every gun law that the not just the states have passed, but the just starting with the federal government, right? The rules that they've put on them. It's like, where do you get the authority to do that? It's because written in the Constitution. Second Amendment, look it up. It's not hard to find.
Unless the case gets to them, they can't just turn around to Congress and be like, hey, man, you passed some bullshit law. That's unconstitutional. Because what does SCOTUS always says this, right? When you look at the health mandates, and not to go fully off topic, but anything that was a mandate, they looked at it and said, outside the federal one for COVID, they were like, no, this is unconstitutional because Congress never passed the law. Unelected bureaucrats can't mandate something for you, more or less, right? If Congress passes a law that says that, you know, companies have to, you know, do the COVID-19 shot, now it's a different story, right? You pass the law. And then once you pass that law, okay, it's in writing. But now if somebody wants to challenge that law, they can put it through the courts. But once the legislature passes a law, it's really hard to overturn, you know, Congress's rulings.
I think
look at Obamacare, unconstitutional, and still there.
I think a ruling that happened this week, it might be have a little bit of the blueprint that can be brought up with also the right to carry. Again, I don't understand how much more clear the Constitution can be, but okay, let's look at it from this perspective. So this week, the New York Supreme Court ruled to reinstate former federal or New York employees who had been fired because they refused to get vaccinated. All right. So I'm going to read to you from the actual document that the court order.
This was brutal.
And I'm going to read this only because this was written very beautifully. I'm like, wow. It's going to be a little bit of reading, but it's so worth it because what this judge said, it feels good for people like us who said no, this is stupid and it's not being applied and it's arbitrary and it's capricious and it's not, there is no logic to why you would not apply it evenly. If you're going to fucking pass a law, then everybody should be subject to it and nobody's going to get preferential treatment. So let me read to you what this judge said. This is beautiful. The court finds that based upon the analysis above, the commissioner's order of October 20th, 2021 violated the petitioner's equal protection rights as the mandate is arbitrary and capricious. The city employees were treated entirely different from private sector employees, and both city employees and private sector employees were treated entirely different from athletes, artists, performers. This is what people, you know, you have to remember. New York said, okay, oh, it looks like the, you know, basketball season is coming. Yeah, the basketball. Yeah, you guys don't have to get vaccinated. Oh,
the away team.
The artists, yeah.
The away team, the home team. If you played in New York, this is what was fucked up about the law. You could have been unvaccinated playing for the Philadelphia 76ers, right? Come into Madison Square Garden or into the Barclays Center in New York, you know, 30, you know, 60 miles away and play basketball there. But if you played on the Knicks or the Nets, and you didn't have the COVID shot, you couldn't even be in the building.
Yeah. So let me keep it again. But they applied differently. Sorry. For anybody. For, you know, it wasn't equal, right? They made exceptions for artists, performers, really. Mm-hmm. All unvaccinated people living or working in the city of New York are similarly situated. Granting exemptions for certain classes and selectively lifting of vaccination orders while maintaining others is simply the definition of disparate treatment. Furthermore, selective enforcement of these orders is also disparate treatment. There is no doubt that the vaccination mandates were enacted in the furtherance of a legitimate government purpose. Though city employers are often held to a higher standard than employees in private sectors, there is no rational reason for vaccination mandates to distinguish city workers, athletes, performers, and other private sector employees. All persons shall be treated alike, under like circumstances and conditions, both in the privileges conferred and in the liabilities imposed. Okay, here is the conclusion, and this is the beautiful statement here. It is clear that the health commissioner has the authority to issue public health mandates. No one is refuting that authority. However, and to Tim's point, the health commissioner cannot create a new condition of employment for city employees. The health commissioner cannot prohibit an employee from reporting to work. The health commissioner, a fucking unelected official, he didn't say this, but I'm just saying this, unelected, a fucking appointed health commissioner cannot terminate employees. The mayor cannot exempt certain employees from these orders. Executive order, whatever, renders all these vaccine mandates arbitrary and capricious. Being vaccinated does not prevent an individual from contracting of transmitting COVID or transmitting COVID. 19. As of the day of this decision, CDC guidelines regarding quarantine and isolation are the same for vaccinated, unvaccinated individuals. The petitioners should not have been terminated for choosing not to protect themselves. And here's the key line. We have learned through the course of the pandemic that the vaccine against COVID-19 is not absolute. Breakthrough cases occur even for those who have been vaccinated and boosted. The vaccination mandate for city employees was not just about safety and public health. It was about compliance.
Oh,
yeah. This is the part here. If it was about safety and public health, unvaccinated workers would have been placed on leave the moment the order was issued. If it was about safety and public health, the health commissioner would have issued citywide mandates for vaccination for all residents. In a city with nearly 80% vaccination rate, we shouldn't be penalizing the people who showed up to work at great risk to themselves and to their families while we were all locked down. If it was about safety and public health, no one would be exempt. It is time for the city of New York to do what is right and what is just. I love that this judge wrote this.
Destroyed because it.
This needs to be said. Yep.
Destroyed the whole thing. And this was the worst possible thing that could have happened to the Democrats before the fucking midterms. Because now, how do you turn around and say, we're fighting this? No, I mean, they're going to fight it. They're going to appeal it. But this is the New York State Supreme Court. Like, who do you go to? Another Supreme Court? You're going to run it all the way up? Like, give it up. You're done.
The Supreme Court's not going to listen to this. The Supreme Court of the United States is not going to. They're, you know, went for appeal, but no.
It's done. We're done. This COVID thing has been proven. But this order right here, this is what people need to realize. The reason why this is so massive now, because this now opens up all these other cities and all these other states that did this, where people go, look in New York, blah, blah, blah. The narrative crumbled. Now you can't mandate it. Now people can sue because you could be like, oh, wait, your mandate was unconstitutional and I went through all this pain and suffering. I lost my house. I went bankrupt. I got all this debt. I want fucking back pay plus retribution for pain and suffering. This is going to be a massive lawsuit, and I hope the city goes broke over this.
Look,
this is ridiculous.
I will say this, mm-hmm. and what I'm concerned about is that, see, what they did, it was a ploy to find out how far they could go. Okay?
Compliance.
Exactly. They were trying to see how far can we push this. Okay, now think about this. If they were able to fire people who didn't comply, and who's not complying? In general, it was going to be conservatives, right? It was going to be people who were, you know, held on to their convictions and were like, no, this is all bullshit and I'm not going to listen to this. And those are the people that are going to give them the hardest, are going to push back. And so next time around, because there's going to be a next round, what they're going to do is they're going to, because of what's happened here, they're going to be more stringent and they're going to be more cracking down on this, and it's going to be more severe. This was a testing round. I think this is going to come back. They're going to try to do this even faster and quicker, get rid of a lot of people who are opposing. This is crazy. And you know, I don't, this is a win. This is a win that needed to happen. And I'm glad there's some freaking sanity in New York, at least, you know, in the court systems, at least with this judge. But again, this was just a round one. And I think a lot of the political pundits that we listen to, they all say there's a civil war coming, guys. And this is just going to ramp up, the next round, it's going to be crazier. Don't put it past these people, man. So be awake and buy bullets. Don't be like,
I know. but so Zeldin brought this up in the debate. He goes, remove your mandate and let the health workers go back to work upstate. And you'll start solving a lot of crises with the medical system and unemployment upstate New York. You know, it's like, but this is where that mandate in New York City, if I'm a healthcare worker, I'm going back and say, hey, look at this ruling from New York State. How do you contradict this? It doesn't stop transmission. Unvaccinated, unvaccinated get treated the same according to the CDC. They follow the same guidance now. So tell me what the difference is.
It was everything that we said on the show.
Oh, we're not
everything,
stupid.
Everything that was getting banned. I mean, all my posts.
Say from a legal perspective.
Everything that I was posting got banned, got taken down, I was shadow banned. So it was stuff that we would post on, even to this day on Instagram. Anything that has to do with COVID, whatever, it'll get taken. If the powers that be do not like this, or it's against the narrative, they will take it down. And so what this judge said here, in my opinion, it's true. It's everything that we've been saying. This was, you applied this unfairly. If you really believe this, no performer, no artist, no athletes would have gotten exemptions, and you would have applied it evenly to everybody. It wasn't. It was the elite got to live a different lifestyle than you did, regular citizen, because you're not special. The same way that what they did, where, oh, our activism, our protest, BLM, they get a different treatment than MAGA rallies. This shit was happening. And so, no, you cannot do that. MAGA rallies don't spread COVID faster than the BLM bullshit that happened. Fuck out of here.
Yeah. So I guess my question, thought, concern, however you want to word it, is, so if the state of New York had gone out and said, hey, Whitney Houston, well, she's dead.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. Whoever. Some movie star.
Some artist, right? The Black Eyed Peas. They're going to fly out from California to New York, and they're going to put on a concert in New York. If the state of New York had said, well, you have to be vaccinated
to do
your job in New York. Or if the traveling, the Phoenix Suns are going to play the Nets in Madison Square Garden or wherever they play, I don't know.
You would have went broke.
Well,
they would have said, fuck you.
But if they had said to the Suns, you have to get vaccinated. If they had done that, if they had said, the artists, the athletes, yeah, the whatever's, everybody has to do it, then this judge wouldn't have anything to say about that, right? Because they would have treated everybody the same.
Right. Even the residents, you wouldn't have made an exception. You would have said, that's why I said every New Yorker living in the city would have been mandated to get the vaccine to leave their house if it was about this. Because
didn't they try to do that?
No, well, see, they made it work.
And this is why I initially led into this was because I think they need that they can use this as a blueprint with the whole gun laws, because it's the elite, like what's her name? Kathy Hogan, who come out and say, why do you care? Why do you care? And no, they want gun control for the regular citizen, but for themselves. Oh, they want all the security that they can get. They want all the gated community and security guards and weapons that they can to protect themselves. Oh, yeah. So if we apply the same logic here, you cannot have laws that apply differently to different people. Fuck out of here. That's not how this works.
Yeah, obviously that's a... Well, I guess I was hoping that this judge would have come back saying, just in general, you can't tell people to get the vaccine or to stay at home or to not go to work or fire people just because
let's think about this. Okay, hold on. Let's say, for example, if this was a real pandemic, okay, I'm talking about half your neighborhood is gone, dead.
Yeah, one out of every two people just dropped dead in front of me.
If this is a real pandemic and the government's trying to control this and says, folks, it's spread to the, I can see an instance where, you cannot just approach anybody and breathe on them. Like, I get that if it's a real pandemic, I understand that. So I think when a judge is looking at this in a real pandemic and in a state of emergency, does government have the authority to do certain things that are stringent? Sure. But
why?
Why
does the government get to trample on my rights just because there's millions of diseases out there.
Hold on. Again, I'm trying to be reasonable here. So if we look at it as a real pandemic, my issue with COVID was I don't think it was a fucking flu. The way mm-hmm. that I see it is there is a threshold. I'm not the person who's going to be like, oh, absolutely never. They're the government. No, I believe that there are certain instances where government should have the authority to come in and do stringent things in a short term and to solve a particular problem.
I would disagree.
Ebola? No, but
the government should never come in and tell me what to do. Like you said, Saul, if I walked out onto the street out in front of my house to get the mail out of my mailbox, and I see in front of my neighbor's houses body bags full of people that used to live in there who have died from this magical disease, I'm going to make that decision and I'm going to do what's best for me. I don't need the fucking government coming in and telling me that I should be doing something. It's like, fuck you, government. I make these decisions, not you. And so I disagree with your idea that the government should be able to step in when it needs to. It's like bullshit.
Well, okay.
People need to make the decisions for themselves.
If there's an outbreak like Ebola, Ebola is a really fucked up thing. That thing, if you get it, you're like dead real quick. Right. So, and that thing spreads real fast because it kills its host and all this shit.
The way I look at it is do I believe government plays a role in certain cases? Yes. I'm not a complete anarchist. I'm not, because to me, everyone, fend for themselves and everybody's like, I believe that there are certain instances where a body of government and law enforcement and that will play a role in quelling a lot of stuff that could go wrong very quickly if there is no order. Again, our society does not, if we were to take that approach, no government whatsoever, then get rid of police officers. I don't agree with that. I believe that there should be a system. But my approach is it should be limited. That's why I said a short period of time, give it, that's why I said 14 days to stop the spread. Sure. Okay, fine. But after those 14 days,
obviously
it doesn't. Exactly.
Yeah. When we saw what happened on day 15, they're like, oh, no, we need another fucking 3 years of this. Oh, okay. That's the problem. It didn't. Right. They didn't act in good
faith. They're so tricky about that, too, because it wasn't that we need more time. Oh, we need to wait until there's a vaccine.
Right. They moved the goalpost. They didn't act in good
faith. There was no goalpost. It was just some arbitrary bullshit. Oh, we need to wait until there's a vaccine. Well, how long is that going to take? Oh, we don't know. It could take 3, 4, 7, 10 years.
Who knows? Trump for that. But anyway, but the thing is, they didn't act in good faith. The people acted in good faith because you put the fear of life in them. They said, you know what? Okay, I know this isn't good, but you know what? I'll give in a little bit because you told me. It was like the Patriot Act, right? The Patriot Act, they said, oh, yeah, this is going to stop terrorism. It'll never be used on American citizens. You fucking idiots, right? We all duped on that one, right? So the government, you can't trust the government. When they say, I'm doing this for your health or doing that, no, sorry, bitch. Until you prove yourself differently, that you are acting in good faith, I can't listen to you anymore, right?
Right.
And I just wanted to bring up the quick point of, you know, the key word to this whole thing, right? The key word is compliance. In that, and out of that entire thing, the word compliance, they said this is about compliance, right? Which is very crucial because what are they trying to do? Why do you think you're hearing about climate change and why that's the biggest thing? And even though that we all know is bullshit,
cricket,
they keep pushing for it. They want climate lockdowns. They're upset that they couldn't get the climate lockdowns, that COVID got the thing that they really wanted. Because now what they could do is say, but these motherfuckers are ready to 2 weeks slow this. Hey, guys, hey, once a month, we're gonna lock down once a year for 30 days to stop carbon emissions. No cars on the road, no nothing. If a cop sees you on the thing, you're going to jail. Oh, I can't do that, blah, blah, blah. Now it's controlled compliance. And now, oh, that month turns into 2 months, 3 months. And now you can't leave your fucking house, right? So, but the private, the rich guys, again, oh, yeah, climate change is real, blah, blah, blah. But they're flying around in their private jets like it's fucking nobody's business. Sorry, guys. I can't listen to you anymore. You're acting in bad faith.
Or how about the ones that can afford a $100,000 electric vehicle? Oh, you can still drive. Right. But the guy who's, you know, driving around in a $20,000 Toyota, sorry, you got to stay at home and not drive.
Go buy an electric car.
Even though that electric car fucking uses more fucking gas and everything else, and worse for the environment, but whatever.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Talking about the environment,
electric cars.
Let's get into Elon Musk. And I'm just going to show you this video, Jeremy. This is a great video.
Okay.
Again, it looks like it's going through. Elon Musk enters the Twitter headquarters holding a sink. And can you guys decipher what he means by this? Is he going to throw the kitchen sink at them?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, let it sink in.
I know, but why is he
because it has to sink. Let it sink in, right? Isn't a lot of the, I thought I saw something that the Twitter employees were begging him not to lay them all off.
Oh, I got the letter up. I was going to wait and then read it out.
Read it, Tim.
No, I was going to wait for the moment. So to your point, Jeremy, so, you know, it was reported that the first order of business of Elon Musk was that he was going to lay off 75% of the employees, right? All the ones that were talking shit, right? But now it's a reality. They shouldn't have talked shit online, right? So this is this is the letter. As reported from Time Magazine, from a bunch of unknown Twitter employees. Elon Musk's plan to lay off 75% of Twitter workers will hurt Twitter's ability to serve the public conversation. A threat of this magnitude is reckless, undermines our users and customers' trust in our platform, and is a transparent act of worker intimidation. Written by communists. Twitter has a significant effect on societies and communities across the globe. Yeah, as we speak, Twitter is helping to uplift independent journalism in the Ukraine and Iran, as well as powering social movements around the world. Elon Musk gave Starlink, you know, to these countries so that they can do this. So anyway, protection. We demand Elon Musk explicitly. We demand Elon Musk explicitly commit to preserve our benefits, those both listed in the merger agreement and not remote work. We demand leadership to establish and ensure fair severance policies for all workers before and after any change in ownership. The last one, dignity. We demand transparent, prompt, and thoughtful communication around our working conditions. We demand to be treated with dignity and not treated as mere pawns in a game played by billionaires. Sincerely, you know, Twitter workers.
I hate to break this to you, Twitter employees. Elon Musk is not the kind of person that takes demands.
Yeah.
every one of those words that you say, we demand this and we demand that. Yeah. Well, first of all, who the fuck are you to make demands to your boss? Exactly. And of course, you learn that. You learn that in college, because in college you demanded that the dean of the college do things, and they cowed down to you and they did it. Well, guess what? Elon Musk is not your college dean.
Yeah,
he is not going to put up with this shit.
But you know who really wrote that? It wasn't the employee? It was Praga, the CEO.
Oh wow, exactly. Oh, okay.
That's the CEO.
Yeah,
no, but he's gone. But again, what you're starting to see, that letter is the epitome of Silicon Valley, the progressive left. We demand. Listen to the words. They're activists. So this is why Jack Dorsey, I believe, because he catered to it, he submitted to it, and then he got fucking shut out of his own company because he embraced this, thinking, oh, I don't want to rock the feathers. I'll be nice to you. I want to be your friend.
You think he'll bring Jack Dorsey back?
I hope not. I think I'd put him on the board and as an advisor, or make him a VP of engineering or something like that. But Elon Musk needs to steer the ship. That's the only way people are going to trust the platform.
He's going to move the headquarters after, you know, because what he did with Tesla moving it to Texas. I wonder if he might do the same thing with Twitter. He shouldn't be. That's a horrible
carbon footprint to be in both of those places. So he's got to pick one, move them all to one place.
That's a big fuck you if he does move it to Texas or Arizona or something like that.
I bet you he will.
Good, he should. Fuck those demanding people.
Yeah.
What the fuck are they?
You know what he should do? I mean, granted, for $44 billion, it's not a pet project. You got to make money. But you know what he should do? Shut it the fuck off. Just be like, okay, I'm done.
No.
And delete it. And now the only platforms on there for fucking this kind of shit Parler is Truth Social, Getter, Parler. You know what I mean? Or what he should do is sell this shit to Kanye for a dollar. That would piss everybody off.
Holy shit. Imagine. No, but I'm waiting for, you know, all the accounts to come back. You know, all the shit that got banned. It's going to come back.
I want the Babylon Bee. That was the best account on Twitter. I don't give a shit what anybody says. The Babylon Bee.
Well, here's to you, Elon, man. You know.
Yeah, I don't.
This guy is the modern, you know, who do you want to say, Bruce Wayne or the modern Iron Man? Tony Stark.
He's Tony Stark.
He's not as dark. He's humorous.
Yeah, I think
he's not as dark as Bruce Wayne. he has the humor of Tony Stark. Yeah, you're right.
But we got to be careful of it, right? You can't just because he tweeted out, oh, I'm going to vote Republican for the first time, and I'm buying Twitter restored. The guy, you got to remember, he's got that Neuralink shit. So now he owns your thoughts.
I think he did come out saying that both Republicans and Democrats would be upset after you know what happens with Twitter. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. But it's better than where it's at today, and it's better than all the fucking banning.
He said both Republicans and Democrats would be disappointed with what he does.
Be upset.
He always said he's not gonna do enough
in one direction, but he's gonna go there a little bit, and the other side's gonna be mad about that.
He's probably not gonna bring Trump back. I think just because he doesn't want the Kanye treatment. If you see what's happening to Kanye, if he brings Trump back, he's done. Like, they will bankrupt every business that he has.
Yeah, they'll probably every bank is gonna be like, you know, close your accounts and whatever, which they're fucking stupid if they do, you know, start up a freaking any. This is why what Daily Wire is doing.
He has his own bank. Didn't he start PayPal? He doesn't need any banks.
He doesn't own PayPal anymore. Yeah.
Well, he'll start another one.
Well,
or he just buys another one. He just buys a freaking the one that Candace was just recently advertising, that bank. What is it? Freedom something? Anyway. But yeah, we create our own subculture, our own, you know, conservative. And dude, if half the money is going to one location, if they do push into that, because we're grateful here that there's still freedom for other companies to start up. And if half conservatives move their money, trust me, the Chase banks of the world who think that they can bully people very quickly, as soon as the dollar stop dropping, they'll change their tune.
PayPal's actually tried stopping people from closing their accounts. Like, it used to be, all right, close account, and it was easy. Now people were getting the splash screen because when they came out with that thing about $2,500 for bad tweets and misinformation and all that, which ironically, it's still in there. It's been in the terms of service, apparently, for years that they can fine you $2,500 for hate speech. Mm-hmm. It just, they've never enforced it, but it's in the terms of service.
Who, Twitter?
PayPal.
PayPal.
Wait.
It's in their terms of service that they can fine you.
If you sign up for a PayPal account.
In their terms of service that they can fine you $2,500 for hate speech.
Hate speech on their platform? Like, do they have a platform?
I don't know. I think that's the issue,
hate
right?
Speech. They can, hate speech.
In general. Yeah.
In general.
So if you're in the news and you said something hateful, they charge you $2,500 if you're
they just never enforced like it, but guess what?
Wow.
It's time to really... But who's got time to... We're not lawyers. Who's got time to read fucking terms of service? They're fucking 30 pages long of fucking gibberish like the fucking New York thing. I need the the cliff notes.
They need a website called termsofservice.com where you go, I'm signing up for a Twitter account. And it's just like the pros and cons.
Holy
boom, you
shit,
get this.
Wait. Edit this part out. We got the $1 billion
idea.
Bunch
of lawyers.
Edit this part. Edit Jeremy's idea. You just gave $1 billion idea.
The problem is that then we're going to have our own terms of service. And what is that going to say? Who's going to interpret that?
Dude, honestly, I'm going to go online. I'm going to go online and see if termsofservice.com and TOS.com are fucking.
You probably won't be able to get TOS. Anything three digits is every combination of three digits is already taken. But yeah, you could check.
Yeah, it's an Asian oil import specialist. That's what TOS.com is.
We got to leave it there. All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on another episode of The Salty Show. Find us on some of the social media platforms. Not Twitter yet. Give us a follow, hit the like button, and share some of the content. And we will catch you all next time. Adios.
See ya.
Termsofservice.com.
Exactly. You gotta freaking save that domain if it's available.
Buy it.
It is. Go to termsofservice.com. Buy this domain.
Do it.
Buy it. Terms of service, bro. That's a great idea.
Anyways, thank you for listening to this episode of The Salty Show.com.